So, this last message spoke a lot to me. Who would agree? Last week was one of them things. Now, Rhonda walked in this morning, she said, the first thing she said when she walked to me was, I listened to last week's message, and yo, that's got me going. I'll tell you what stuck with me out of it, and then I'll ask a few other people just to see where we are. The thing that stuck with me was almost toward the end when I said, we have a tendency to come to God with what we believe in for, and then we'll say, but it's so hard and things are so rough, and you know, I'm really trying to believe, but you know, and I said, and God gave me the instruction to reverse that. Start with your mess. And then put, but God. Don't say, God, I know you can, but, and then talk about all your, and cancel it out, because the thing after but is the statement in the legal contract. You can say all the things you want to say. Well, you know, picture this, Shell. You're saying to Penny, say, Shell, come, you know, I love you. You're my girl. You're my whole world. But, and you know, I don't want to hear nothing about the girl and whole world right now, because what you're about to say now, that was just a setup for you to say what you don't like. So I can't even take that now with joy, because you threw that button there. When we go to God with, God, I know you're able, but, and then you begin to unload your mess, you're expressing with your own words, you're snared by the words of your own lips, that this is what I really believe. This is what I want to believe, but this is what I really believe. So the revelation, flip it. Make sure you talk about the issues first, and then but God, and close it on where God is able. Did I speak to somebody? Well, this whole week, I've been watching myself with that, Mike. I've been watching myself with that. I've been making sure that when I felt overwhelmed and stuff, I always said, okay, let me make sure I end this right. Let me make sure I wrap this up with, but God is able. Let me make sure I voice my concerns realistically, but let me end it with what his promises are. Say, all the promises of God are yay and amen. So God's promises are real. The things that we anchor ourselves to decide our destinies. God's promises are real. The things we anchor ourselves to become our destiny. Those are the things. Regardless of God. And let me just make sure make sure you get this. God's promises don't cease to be real because you doubt. But they move you into the place where you can't receive them. By your choice, by what you anchor yourself to, you move yourself to a place that you can't receive what's sitting right by your foot. If God send the blessing underground and you're looking in the sky, you can go 50 years without something that's right there in the ground. Anybody here feel like, yeah, that kind of, I can see that in my life in places. So it's real. It's just not me. So I want to ask a couple of people. Specifically, if you want to talk about just a line from the series or a line from last week or whatever it was that has anchored itself in you in this season, just like I did with He Walks Around, you know, the sober message, right? I want to know what spoke and what's speaking so I know where to go from here in terms of, again, I like to do this like class. I don't like to do this like I'm sitting up here trying to preach you a get happy message. So let me just get a few folk to kind of give me in this serious faith, a focus and patience, what spoke to you and what's a focus for you in this season? Something you're standing and believing for. And don't make me start picking you out, because then that's going to mean that nobody has got anything. You're just coming here on Sunday, filling the seats up and breathing up oxygen. Yes, Rhonda, thank you.
You talked about obedience not being constraining, but being the vehicle by which we walk in the fullness of God's blessing.
I like that.
So
let me grab a mic.
Show me
like not cussing or drinking or lying, those outward things, but it's the things in my heart, like disbelief, not being obedient to trusting him, to not being fearless, and those kinds of things that I see I lack obedience to.
So for those who didn't catch it in the beginning, who listens online, so she said the thing about obedience not being a punishment or a drill, but it's for you to, God trying to keep you in a place where you get to his greatness. And I won't go through all of that. It's on last week's message. I don't even have to say you got to buy it. It's free. If you can go online, you can listen. Who's next? But see, if you do that, then I got to repeat it. Okay. So I'll do Oprah. Thank
you. I just want to piggyback on what Rhonda said. It was the obedience for me as well, because in a season, I felt like I need to be more obedient to God's word.
Okay. And understanding that that's not a punishment, that's for your benefit. Obedience, God gains nothing from you being obedient other than the opportunity to get his blessings to you. That was the message. Who else? I mean, looking at the floor thinking that excuses you. I'm just telling you, just don't. I'm like, Wayne. Wayne ain't even here that much. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Okay. My issue is when God is doing his will, I need to learn how to get out of his way.
Anybody back here, any takers before I go forward?
In terms of making sure that I know what God, I'm not overlooking, I mean, valuing everything that God puts in my life, not overlooking anything, and recognizing the value and what is actually needed or the necessity. You know, you talked about it last week about we don't always even pray for what we need. We pray for basically what we want. And so just going back to what is real and the thing that I really need, even if I don't know actually what I need. So making that difference between what I need and what I want, and letting God showing me also what it is that I really need so that I can be fulfilled.
Kwame, you got anything out here? No, you good? All right. I want to leave him out. It's a real funny thing, but I've been talking to people. I was just dealing with somebody in business recently. Was having a business conversation and meeting and talking about sales and products and things of the sort. And I made the comment to him that kind of, he said he never heard that before, but it's the absolute truth. People will buy what they want before they buy what they need. They will. You'll sacrifice something you need if you see something that you want. It's a process that we all have to sort through in the Lord. God, but do I really need this? Right. That's why most people's credit cards are run up. Because you got something that you need over something that you want. I mean, something you want over there, something you need. People will get what they want. It'll get them excited. And they'll neglect what they need. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I actually have a whole message developed from this, what I'll use for probably our next Bible study. But you said something about panic and desperation will lead to irrational behavior. That's how I wrote it. That's not exactly how you said it. And you talked about a drowning person will reach for anything, you know, even a rock, and all that will take them down. We allow ourselves to get into the place of panic and desperation. It causes us to do things and react in ways that can be to our detriment, you know. So I'm learning to just back up, you know. I'm learning more to just back up, calm down, you know. First of all, it's usually not as bad as it looks, you know. God's got you either way. You know, like I said, there's a whole litany of stuff here, but that's just kind of the nuts and bolts of it.
You want next Sunday? Listen, you tell me you got a whole message. Listen, I'll sit down. Think about it a little bit. Let it roll around in your spirit. Listen, I ain't one of them kind of pastors. I turn the mic over in a minute. You give me the look, Esther. No? Now you gave me the look, you got to say something. No? Okay, I'll give you a few seconds. No, you gave me that look like your spirit is stirring with something. So I'm coming back to you.
What got me was when you was talking about Markel and how he was trained by the service to be automatically a killer. Well, we need to be trained automatically to know to call on God for whatever we're going through.
That's good.
For me, it's just been being aware of the people around me, people I associate with. I know you mentioned that two weeks ago, I believe. Just being aware and who's ministering to who.
Nice.
Yeah.
Come back. You got to come back, so I might as well just do it now. I guess just I've been paying attention and being aware of the blessings and how much of a pedestal I'm putting those on as opposed to where they come from. And like you were saying, being overwhelmed by the blessings, and it's like, no, that's not what they're given to us for, not to make them our God. And so that's something I'm just being more aware of, like, okay, this is great, this is amazing, but I can't make this the reason why I get out of the bed, because then I'll be stuck in this, and 20 years later, I'll still be thinking about this and preventing everything else that could have happened.
Whatever. You should have spoken before Rafe told you. I get it. No pressure.
Nah. Back to the obedience thing. Like, with me, I say like about a week or two ago, I was chatting with Penny about something. I'm not going to get into it. And God told me to chat with her about it, but I was reluctant. And the message when, Pop spoke about obedience is for you. When I spoke to Penny about it, what she said to me in return, I was like, yo, you are right. Like, real simple, God is just always right. He's just always right. And that's, I just love him for that. I'm really learning to, like, let me just take a lot of me out of it and just listen to God more. Just listen to him more and take myself out of it. And my way of thinking, like, my rationalization of what, like, nah, God, that's not going to happen. Okay, try it. I tried it, and it worked.
Penny, you got something?
Well, from your message the week before last, where you were saying focus and, don't be distracted. So for last year, we had like about 19 bills a month. And God was just like, we're going to work on your debt. We're going to get it down. And so right now, this is still, it's April 2017, and we worked ourselves down to 10 bills a month. And so God was just like, continue to be obedient and listen to me.
All right. So now, good. So we're on the right path then. Everybody is feasting on something. Everybody has a focus. Everybody does, even if you didn't put your hand up, everybody's got something? Okay, good. So now, focuses are important. And I mean by that, the message is focus and patience, but a focus is important. Focuses become goals, and we should have godly goals. We should keep in front of us godly goals. Not, well, I believe one day the Lord going to make a way. That's not a goal. You're hearing what I'm saying, right? What if you go into the gym, you go into the gym for a goal. I mean, well, some people don't. They just go to the gym because they say, oh, I'm too fat. I need to go to the gym. And they go to the gym and they push this and roll that and slide on that. And then they don't come back, right? Because they didn't have a goal. They went out of this, did you hear me? They went out of this obligation to feel like they were fulfilling something, but there was no goal, so they couldn't stay. When you go with a goal, I just want to get in shape. Okay, that's good. That's a start. So what are we working on first? And if you have a trainer, your trainer will ask you that. So you want to get fit, you want to get muscular, you want to burn fat. What is it you want to do? Okay, then let's get together a plan to help you. Oh, come on now. Get those things done. There's a process. There's a process involved, right? There's something you need to do. You know, Angie came and we talked about and sold a seed to me and my wife. Said, hey, God, I just want to bless you with the seed for your gym membership. And I said, that's the nicest way somebody ever told me I was too fat in my life. It was just the nicest way that, you know, I just want to bless you with a gym seat. Like, I can't afford a gym membership. I absolutely can. But, matter of fact, I had one that I was paying every month, but not going. Let's just work with it now. So now that she put this seed in there, she's looking for results. When she saw me last week, she said, oh, I can see my seed is paid off. I said, that's her way of saying, yeah, you better stay in the gym and keep it going, right? I love her. Listen, I like when God surrounds me with strong, real people. I don't like kiss butts. I like people that just bring it. Boom, just bam, drop it and let me deal with it. I'll find my tooth. It'll be all right. Now, watch this. I now have to say, I need a goal then. And what's my initial goal? Well, me being a man of understanding in terms of working out, I've gone up and down and up and down and up and down. It's like, well, I know 85% of it is diet. You can go to the gym all you want and come home and eat a box of donuts. It's 85% of it is what you're eating. So I said, dude, start by changing what you eat. Now, I'm not trying to give you a diet plan. I'm trying to show you the spirituality of our walk as well. For me, coming home and going on a diet, I know from experience, does not work. Going on a diet. Changing your diet works. Going on a diet doesn't work. Because you go back to what you eat, what is your diet. So what I do is this. You listening to me? I say, okay, you know your triggers. Mm-hmm. Okay. So instead of trying to change everything, you know you still want your French fries here and there. You know you want your stuff now and then. What are the things you can start to move out gradually? Well, for me, bread, late night bowls of cereal, middle of the night bowls of cereal, early morning bowls of cereal. You know, I can eat cereal all day if you let me. All right? And bread, and you know, and then I got slick. But I'm putting honey and peanut butter on it. It's different. It's healthy bread. Still bread. So for me, I know I just move bread and instantly I start to see a change. Instantly. So okay, cut your bread down. No bread? Well, instead of two slices every day, why don't you just go to a slice every other day? You know, it's a process, but it's still that. Watch what I'm about to say to you. That changes something in me, and I look in the mirror, and I see that change, and that motivates me to get a little more excited and keep going. When you're walking out these things with the Lord, you can't just say, well, the Lord is. That's like the person that just goes to the gym, walks around and pushes the machines. Don't know how they work. Don't even know how to do a set. They just walk around and say, well, I got a gym membership. And a lot of people have a church membership. But they never let God train them. You see where I'm going now, huh? So you got to come in and say, God, okay, what's the thing? Listen to me. What's the thing that I need to work on first? Say that. Don't say it to me. Say it to God. Because God will tell you, I know you think it's this. But we need to first work on that before you can do this. What I'm about to say to you is really, really important, simple but important. Working with a trainer and over the years, I learned a couple of things. I would go to the gym and I would try to get a bench press and I couldn't get the bench press over 185. And I just didn't understand why. And my trainer said, I know what it is. Well, he said, your rotator cuff is weak. Well, I didn't even know what a rotator cuff was at the time. I'm like, I don't understand what that is. He showed me a picture of it. Anybody here don't know what a rotocuff is? Okay, rotocuff is a little skinny muscle, little tiny thing. You can rip it real easy if you don't do it right, especially if you're trying to bench press heavy weight. You tear your rotocuff and you ruin yourself for a long, long time. It's a little thing that runs right across here that gives you the ability to do this. Small muscle, but you damage it and you can't do nothing. Remember when I couldn't move my arm for a whole year? Ruined my rotocuff. So I had to train with Esther's help to strengthen the rotocuff. And then all of a sudden, I thought my arm went limp. No, my rotocuff was messed up, and I couldn't lift the arm up once I built the rotocuff back up. So if I get on the bench and I start to bench and I start to feel this little pain right here, I know, okay, dude, you need to do a little more shoulder work before you jump right on the bench. Because most brothers, we want to get on the bench and see what we can do. You mess yourself up real bad, you don't build them shoulders up first. Simple stuff like this, but this is all spiritual. We want to go in and take on the devil. I'm going to rebuke the devil. Okay, you're going to tear something trying to lift things that you ain't ready for because you haven't done any training. You just walked around the gym. Are you hearing me now? I'm going to give you one more workout tip that I learned. People say, my stomach's too big. I need to do some more push-ups, more sit-ups. I need to do more sit-ups. I got to get a lot of sit-ups. Sit-ups is not going to make your stomach. You're not going to get a six-pack because you do sit-ups. You got to burn body fat to see a six-pack. I don't care how much. Stomach muscles develop very fast. You probably got a six-pack under there, but the keg is hiding the six-pack, right? So there's things you need to do, and one of the things my trainer told me was, he said, check your back. He said, because if you got that little lump back there, you're not going to see this go. This is going to go first. The thing you can't see, listen to what I'm saying. The thing you can't see has to go first, and then it'll come around to here. So you can try to work on your gut all you want. Check your back and see if you got the handles and stuff. They got to go first, and then this will start to go. Did that help somebody?
Yes.
That's how it works. So he says, no. Stop looking at your stomach because you get discouraged, thinking that nothing is happening. Have somebody look at your back or reach your hand back there and see if you can grab, you know, the Pillsbury roll, and then you know that you got more work to do. It's not that it's not working. It's that it's working in a way that you can't see it immediately. How many of you caught that? It's not that it's not working. It's that the visual results you're looking for are in a place that you can't see them. Is working in a place that you don't pay attention. You are being strengthened when you're building up your rotocuff for that bench press. It doesn't seem like it. You are burning the fat for your stomach, but you've let it get all the way around to your back. You got to bring it back around to the front. There's a process. One of the things I use is triggers, and then I'll get off of this. I always say to my wife, when I know my gut is too big and I start doing stuff, what do I always ask you? Well, I don't want to give you hints by... What's the question I always ask you every before I get in the shower? I'm trying to... How's my back? Right, I always ask her that. How's the back looking? I ask her that because I know if she say to me, oh, you're starting to get that roll in your back, I'm like, oh, I went too far. I done pushed the gas too deep. Let's bring this back. Let's get it back around to the... Let's work on this here. That's the gauge right there. Oh, you're starting to get the roll in the back. Now, you know, Mike said he understands, right? Now, when God starts working with you, he's working with you from the realm of the spirit in the area of change. There's a minute before the flesh starts to show change. When God is, no, I prayed about this and God just took it from me. Let me make sure you understand something about this. And I want to make sure you get this very clear before we jump back into the scripture, because this is so important. That's not true. Everybody I see and everybody I met that said God just took it usually goes back to it. Most people do. God will take the pressure off. He will move it for a season or give you a cessation from that pressure to give you free room to grow in his mercy. But you still got to put in the legwork. You can't say, no, I just prayed and I woke up the next day and boy, I was ripped. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You may have felt strong and felt motivated to get in the gym, but you still got to put in the work. You still got to grow progressively through the process. As they went, the scripture said they were healed. It's a healing that takes place in your spirit as you go forward. So if God sees you in a financial mess, are you listening to me? You sure? Because I'm about to start to talk about your money a little bit. If God sees you in a financial mess and you pray, God, I need $5,000 to pay this bill. And 500 shows up. You got to stop and say, God, is this a break into next month? Or is this a seed for the 5,000 that I'm believing for? But you have to ask that question. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to raise an offering, because trust me, I don't need your... I've never done that and I never will. But what I'm saying is, I had to learn that when I saw the scripture, for God provides seed for the sower and bread for the eater, I didn't know a lot of times what was seed and what was bread. So I would eat the seed as bread and then next month be crying again because I don't have no money. Because we'll confuse, you hear what I'm saying? We'll confuse the seed. God always blesses according to his word. You sow a seed, you reap a harvest. That's what he does. He doesn't change that. The scripture says, as long as there is heaven and earth, seed time and harvest shall not fail. That's the process in which God blesses. So when you come to God with a dire need, God responds in the way of a seed. God gave me this just to hold me over one more day. Well, you just ate the seed. And if you think I'm wrong, watch this. Tell me if you've had this experience. So then you start crying and pray to God again. It looked like the same little amount comes again. But the full answer just doesn't come. Just seems to look like these little holdover things keep showing up. Anybody? That's the seed. You keep eating it. Did you learn something? So I've learned, God, is this need or is this seed? Is this provision? Well, it's not provision. Sometimes you have to ask that question. If I got a $5,000 bill, and this definitely is not provision. Now, sometimes God will say to me, yeah, I want you to sow part of it, and I want you to use part of it. Sometimes he say to me, no, you need to sow all of it. But regardless of it, you're not going to burn in hell because you're eating the seed, but you don't get the response that you need. This is God working in the way behind the back that you don't see. You're looking for the immediate relief, but there's a process going on in the spirit to change and strengthen you and build your spiritual muscle so that your reaction is the same all the time. Rainey said it from about last week's message, that automatically you see the flow of the spirit and you get in the flow of it. So when God begins to speak to me about change, he always says to me, what are we changing? You know what your best answer to that question is? I don't know. You tell me. Right. Rhonderson, I don't know. What are we changing? Because, listen to me, because our response is usually, oh God, you really want to know? I got a laundry list for you. Here we go. I don't do this right. I don't do this right. I don't do that right. I need to do this. I need to not do this so much. I talk too much. I need to talk to that. I don't speak up enough. I need to talk a little bit more. You know, we go through this whole thing and God's like, okay, so now you're going to tell me. You're going to diagnose. You know, it's the most irritating thing in the world to work with Lindsay because she does that. She'll come to me and say, this is not working. I don't know how to fix it. Maybe we should do the blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, then what are you coming to me for if you know what to do? You're going to come to me and ask me to fix it, and then you're going to stand here for 15 minutes and give me all your corny diagnoses that ain't based on nothing scientific or anything. You're just going to sit here and pull stuff out your hiney. Just get out my office. Go do it yourself. No, literally, that's what I get. It's like, if you come to me saying you don't know, then be still and let me tell you what it is. And if I don't know either, I can't be helped by your not knowing, throwing your believed diagnosis on top of neither one of us knowing. Okay? I can do a Google search, and somebody who does know will tell us and silence all of our fears. There is a God that knows all of it, and he doesn't have to search Google. So we just need to say, I don't know, but you do. What are we doing? And God will begin to reveal to you, listen to me close, areas that you need to work on that you think have nothing to do with your current situation. He'll start to show you stuff that he needs you to deal with that you think has absolutely nothing. Yeah, I know I need to work on that. But what about this? And if you're obedient, you'll find out that the thing he's telling you about and has been telling you about and poking you on for the past 5 years is the thing that's been holding you from being what he's called you to be. Why are you still trying to figure out how to, if I read more and I pray more and I fast more, and God like, okay, you could do all of that. But eventually I need you to come back and do this one thing that I'm asking you to do, or to not do this one thing I'm asking you not to do, because your salvation is in that obedience. You got it? Now, God's plan, as we study for the past couple of weeks, is to get you to the place that he can bless you with the gift that he's promised your ancestors. We've gone over that. Won't do that again. Here's the thing that's really deep and really important. If God has called you to receive an inheritance, I want you to just catch this for a minute and say this with me. Say, if it's my inheritance, why am I working for it? Right? If you inherited it, you don't work for an inheritance. Let's try another one. If it's a gift of God, then it's free. It's a gift. But people say, you know, you got to pray for the gifts of the Spirit. It's a gift. Why am I working for a gift? The focus of God's calling on us is everything was promised in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the earth. You have a destiny. Now, today I'm not going to be as deep as I've been the past couple of weeks because I want to just make sure that we're really taking in stuff and not going home. And when I ask people every week, what you got, I'm still getting two or three people that have an answer, and the rest of you, I got to make you speak. So that means in no sense to keep going forward and forward and forward if you're not taking in what I gave you so far, because it's a waste of time. It's like the gym thing. I can't get you bench pressing. You won't even let me build your rotator cuff. So I want to make sure we're taking in this stuff. The focus of God for us is us to hear and stay focused. If that's the case, listen to what I'm saying. God needs me to filter out the world around me to hear him clearer. Now, that's a process. I want to get to the scriptures, but I got to follow the flow of the Spirit, if you don't mind. I read this story. No, it wasn't a video. I actually read it. And I'm really developing, as I'm getting older, a love for reading. You know, that's something I was like, yeah, nah, too many chapters. I'll wait for the video. But now I'm starting to read because there's something about reading where I can stop and kind of hit pause in my spirit and meditate on what I'm reading and go back and read it again and make sure I understood the language of the writer. Does that make sense? So I read this story about this man who got tired of civilization in his early 20s, about 21, 22. He just decided that he didn't like being around people. So he got in his car and he just began to drive up toward the Maryland border where he lived, up toward Maine where he came from. And then he just kept driving his car to the road begin to disappear. Finally, it got to the place where there was no more road. He couldn't drive anymore. And he got out the car at the age of 22 and walked away from the car, and nobody ever saw him for 20 years. He just wandered off into the woods. He said as he was out there a while, a lot of things began to hit him. He said first he was like, you know, he was raised not to ever steal, not to ever take stuff. He said, but after 10 days of walking around with no food, he passed somebody's yard and they have vegetables and stuff. I'm stealing me a potato or corn or something. I got to eat, you know. He said all of these morals and logics of life begin to fade away. But he said something, I'm not going to tell you his whole story, but he said something that was really deep. He said in the process, he lost his total identity, but he was talking about it from a positive perspective, not from a negative. He said, if nobody ever calls your name in 20 years, your name becomes irrelevant. If nobody ever puts the expectation on you or tell you what you should be doing, what they think you should be doing, everything about opinions fail to matter. This is a person who's a recluse, alone, for 20 years, no contact with another human being. And he said, I said, man, only if this guy knew Jesus, if he knew God, man, he could have went to such a different level in his thinking, because all the things that were of value, he said, I don't know where the car is today. He said it might be covered over by trees and branches 20 years. Who knows if anybody ever find it again. The point is, he wandered off, and in the process, he said, a realization of who he really is, apart from everybody tells him who you should be, begin to manifest. And his first thing that came to my mind is, shoot, I want to just do that. I just want to wander. I don't want to know if I want to stay 20 years, but I think I could do a year. I would like to just to have that thing where all of the stimuli that the enemy puts around us to distract us from God is gone, and I have no choice but to hear. I believe it's possible even in this world. I believe we can. And I believe we should. So when I talk to you about a goal, what's a goal? Well, I'm talking about focus and patience. Well, there's a world around you, are you listening to me, that's fighting for your attention. Am I telling the truth? It's fighting for your attention. Everything around you demands that you stop. Dave Chappelle said on his thing, I remember a time when you didn't know who was calling you till you picked up the phone. Right? You didn't have a chance to look and decide, I don't want to take this. You didn't know who it was until you picked up the phone. So here's what I'm saying to you. There's a world demanding all the attention that belongs to God. So when I say I want to be still and focused on God, and I know all of us have agreed and said, yes, amen, that's what we want. We want that focus, right? But the thing is, if you don't know what you're up against, if you don't know what's going on back here, how are you going to ever get clear right here? If you don't understand that there's a lot of things screaming at you, there's voices talking to you when you don't even think a voice is talking to you. You planning out your argument when you get to work on Monday, on Friday, because the boss said this to you on Friday, and when I get there, I'm gonna find out, Lord, just lead me what to say. Let me not say too much. I don't want to be upset. And all of this stuff is distracting me. It's all designed to distract me. And I've come to the realization, are you ready for this? That I am easily distracted. I've come to the realization that I am easily drawn away from my focus on God by the slightest little noise. So if we're going to get in shape spiritually, then we first need to take the bread out of the diet. I'm not saying you're going to stop all of the noise, but can we just focus on the one thing that God tells us to focus on now and clear the area so that we can begin to get on the path to spiritual health and well-being? It's a process. I said a prayer and it's done. No, you said a prayer to get direction. Now you and the Spirit get to work on things. I sit here and share with you how God's blessing got so caught up in all the social media stimuli that I wound up walking around confused. And I'm going like, wait a minute, when did this happen? You got distracted. Things are calling your name, yelling at you. Some of them look like good things, but they have a goal. And their goal is to make you less dependent on God and more dependent on them. That's life. There are people that come around you, and that's their focus, to make you less dependent on God, more dependent on them. I'm using Dave Chappelle again. Dave Chappelle did an interview a while ago, and he talked about why he walked away from the $50 million. And I said, this guy's got to be clearer than most people when it comes to this. He said he is only 19 when he really got successful in the game. He was a young kid. We don't think about when he's doing Chappelle's show and stuff, that he's under 20 years old. He's a young dude. And he said, I'm walking around, I'm doing this thing. And he said, when they gave me the $50 million, he said, I had accountants and lawyers and agents and managers and these people that were functioning in my life. He said, and when they offered me the $50 million, people, I guess, wanted to put an explanation point on their worth. So instead of helping me like they would normally do, everybody stood back and said, so what you going to do? They left him to underscore their necessity. They removed themselves. Let him see, yeah, you got this because of us. Now, what are you going to do? So he said they all stepped back and put their hands up and said, so what are you going to do? He said, and it was so overwhelming for him that all this pressure was coming and all of these ideas were being tossed at him that went against who he was and what he was. His solution was to run away from it, not even tell his wife where he was going, and get on a plane and go to Africa where nobody knows his name, except for family. Now, smartest thing he could have ever done. Smartest thing he could have ever done, because he gave himself a chance to sit back and be clear. He said he regretted the decision at times, but the peace of mind he received as a result of the decision was worth him walking away from the $50 million. Well, he just got $60 million to do this Netflix series. Listen, there's some ways, place I can put money for a few dollars for walk away from something for 10 years and come back and know it's going to be $60 million. I do it in a minute. You follow what I'm saying? But he didn't know that. He had to trust the peace of his heart over the law of the world. This is a man who's not even claiming to be a Christian, but he had the foresight to say, my world is too cluttered. My mind is too cluttered. I'm praying to hear the Spirit, but it's too much going on in my mind. So here's what I'm saying to you. Oh, my throat got dry. A little warm in here today. So here's what I'm saying to you. Right now, we're going to pick the message up next week. But we need to start somewhere. And I don't think we really dropped it this week. What is the cycle you're going through now? What is the training that God is calling you to now? You got to get quiet and you got to hear. You need a clear direction. Then he'll give you a plan. He'll say, okay, I want you here Mondays and Wednesdays. And we're going to work this. We're going to build that, and then we're going to move to this. Because for me in this season of my life, it's very clear to me that I not do things to achieve things without an understanding of what I'm achieving and why I'm achieving it. That's me. It's very important to me. I don't want to do stuff. I've gone. You've seen me. Get a trainer, go to the gym, lose weight, turn around and put it back on. Why? Because I don't know what I'm doing it for. What, I want to wear this suit? I want to look nice with this? You know, that's not a motivation enough to keep me going. At my age, I'm already married. I ain't trying to press nobody. So I need a different kind of motivation than I want to look sexy. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, what am I going to look sexy for? I can't give it to nobody else. She's the only one. She seems to be okay with where I am. She'll tell me if I get too big, like, okay, you know, bring it down a little bit. but her meter hasn't been that deep. It, you know, she hasn't required just too much. So she hasn't required me to look like, you know, like Usher with my shirt off. So therefore, that's not a motivation. Well, the motivation could be my health. That I live another 20, 30 years healthy. But I need that motivation in my spirit. I can't watch a Jenny Craig commercial and find that motivation. That motivation has to come from within. I'm using health as a point, but I'm talking about your spiritual health. Your spiritual health is probably, everybody in this room is suffering from malnutrition. We get a shot on Sunday. I ask you guys what you got. And I don't know. I'm like, you don't know? Well, if the enemy comes at you, what you going to do? Call me? What if I'm not answering my phone? No. I want us to be more real about our walk when it comes to clarity, separation. As I'm learning, I'll share with you, but I'll say this and I'll end on this note. Those of you who have been talking to me, have been around me, you have been noticing I've been really kind of just taking in and considering what I see and what I believe about everything. How many of you would agree with me from talking to me, you're convinced that's a real thing? I'm really taking in why I feel so strong about certain things and not strong enough about other things, and what value should be put where. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
We talked about it last week. There are things that we don't give value to that God gives value to, like springs of water flowing. If you don't remember it, last week's message, listen to it again. Because it's so important that we understand that God's promises in the Bible are always about the things that in the long run have the most vital and powerful necessities. So he said springs of water, and we go, I don't want a water, I want a new car. God's like, yeah, but you can live without a car. You can't live without water. Water is more important than a new car. If I'm promised you springs of water, trust me, pay attention to springs of water. You understand what I'm saying? God has a focus. Who hasn't heard last week's message? Listen to it. It's a crucial message. Crucial is the turning point, and we don't need to go forward. And all of you who have heard it, listen to it again this week. Just so when we come back in here, I want to know that we're all like in the same place, ready to push forward. No child left behind. Because what I'm sharing in this season, would you agree, has been very crucial?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't want to keep going on and, oh, that was deep, oh, that was deep. Yeah, but you forgot about the last five deep things. Reel it back in. Just last week. I'm not telling you to listen to the whole series. Just last week again. Listen to it. Be ready. Come in next week. And then we're going to take this and we're going to go to the next level with it. But you need to be focused. You need to be clear. Ask God this week, what is it that I need to be focused on right now? And what area are you dealing that I can't see with my eye but needs to be changed before anything else can change? That's so important. Amen? Are you in agreement with me?
Yes.
Are we on the same page with this?
Yes.
This is real stuff now. When you hear me stand here pushing it like this with you, I'm serious. Serious, serious. This is very, very real. You need to get this to go to the next level. Or you're going to walk around the rest of your life being tossed and twirled back and forth by the enemy like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. It's time for that to stop.
Amen.
For all of us.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.